Hello, friends. This is Phonograph DJ Mac bringing you Centennial Songs. One 100 years ago, the blues were becoming mainstream, and a provocative song was a hit, not only because of its delightful double entendre, but also because of the prodigious talents of the man behind the song. Clarence Williams was born in 1898 on the outskirts of New Orleans to a musical family. Displaying this propensity at the age of 12, he ran away from home to join Billy Kersan's minstrel show. Now, the minstrel show, while a racist institution that upheld black stereotypes, curiously allowed a great amount of musical freedom. For W.C. Handy, Burt Williams, and others, this was one of the few places where black musicians could experiment, explore, and create compositions that put together all the elements of popular music, European melodies, and African-American rhythms. There's a point of view that this was an incubator for jazz. It didn't take long for Clarence to become the master of ceremonies for the show. On returning to New Orleans, he honed his piano playing skills and engaged in a variety of show business as a songwriter, publisher, accompanist, and impresario. He partnered with early jazz great Armand Prion, a successful New Orleans bandleader, to form a publishing company, and they played a lot of music together too. But the demise of Storyville in 1917 destroyed the music scene, sending musicians out of NOLA, spreading this jazz music throughout the country. Clarence Williams set out for Chicago and opened profitable music stores and continued to hone his music business skills. A watershed event was the release of Mamie Smith's Crazy Blues, written by Perry Bradford in 1920. This was a hit song celebrating the blues and sung and played by black artists. Clarence was in the perfect position as publisher, songwriter, player, and business manager to capitalize on this coming wave. And its center was New York City. He married Eva Taylor, another wonderful blues singer, as he cultivated and contributed to the rise of this new archetype, the strong black woman leading the band. He made perhaps his greatest connection in Bessie Smith. Williams accompanied her and wrote her first recording in 1923, Gulf Coast Blues, and composed many of her subsequent songs. William became in demand in this emerging niche. He began writing for and performing with not only Bessie Smith, but all the jazz greats, including Louis Armstrong, Sidney Bechet, W.C. Handy, Bunk Johnson, King Oliver, Fats Waller, and many others. From 1923 to 1928, he was the musical director for OK Records, overseeing historic sessions for these and other important black musicians and watching their line of race records go mainstream. His reputation and vast catalog of published music carried him through the Depression until he sold it all off in 1943, pretty much retiring from the music business, but leaving us an incredible legacy of music, by him and through him. The song we're hearing today is one of those double entendre songs that gave folks a reason to be suspicious of the blues. "I Ain't Gonna Give Nobody None of This Jelly Roll" tells the innocent story of little Willie Green not wanting to share his sweet cake treat, but it's so much more. Listen to that chorus. Of course, it's this kind of thing that made the blues that much more alluring at the dawn of the jazz age. It's just one of Clarence Williams' great songs, this one co-written with another great composer, Spencer Williams, no relation. So here from September 1919 on the Columbia label is Wilbur Sweatman's jazz band version of Clarence Williams' song, "I Ain't Gonna Give Nobody None of This Jelly Roll," this week's Centennial Song.